You are now listening to Changing Lives, a podcast presented by Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, hosted by co-pastor Elena Robertson.
Welcome back to Changing Lives. This is the place where your life is changed by the Word of God. Let's jump right into it. I pray that you have tuned into the first part of the message and dealing with the power of focus. And I'm going to continue in on that. But I'm going to share with you more keys to focus. And I will review a little bit, but I believe this will really bless your life. And so we talked about in the previous podcast about the power of focus. And the biggest thing that we recognized was we have an enemy. We have an enemy that his main goal or purpose in life is to pull us off of the course that we have for our lives in God. And so he does that by way of stealing, killing, and destroying, according to John 10:10. And in doing that, the way that he makes sure that he meets that main objective of doing that is through distractions. And we talked quite a bit about the different things that, distractions, how they come and what they look like and all of that. But we're going to talk about how to actually deal with those distractions and some practical things as well that I'll share with you. But one of the things is I was meditating on dealing with how do I handle distractions is, of course, that awareness. You know, we talked about in the previous podcast about having a discernment to know, you know, what a distraction is, being aware of those distractions, and then knowing what to do with them. Okay. And I feel like what ties into that is having intentionality. I think being intentional about what you do, that means you being all in when you, go for a goal, to meet something. You don't want to just go into it just lackadaisical, just, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try, because I think, when we say we try, I don't feel like that's putting our all in it, because there's a measure of us almost preparing ourselves just in case we fail. So you can say, I tried. Well, did you try with your whole heart with the intent to succeed, or did you try just to say, okay, well, I did something towards it, but you really didn't have your whole heart into it? And so a part of that is being, intentional about what you're doing. If I'm going to set out to meet a goal, then I'm going to be intentional about it, which means I'm going to do whatever I can to help me to succeed in reaching that goal. Okay. So, hey, you want to lose, 20 pounds. Okay. Then did you get rid of all the junk food that's, in your cupboard? Okay. That's being intentional about, okay, if I say that this is what I'm putting my mind to do, this is what I'm meditating on, then I'm going to set myself up for success. I'm going to do what I need to do to succeed. Okay. And so oftentimes we miss intentionality, which is what is required in focusing. You can focus in on something, but then it's the journey in between getting there. Okay. And if you don't have intentionality, to really intend, if you tend to get up early in the morning, okay, and you're not a morning person, then intentionality is, okay, I'm going to set this alarm because I'm going to get up. Okay. If you intend not to forget something, then you're going to either put a mental, a note to mentally remind yourself, or you're going to physically put whatever it is in a place where you can intentionally not forget it. Okay. So it's a great part of our success in being intentional. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the 15th through the 17th verse, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise or witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And so when you recognize, okay, this is the will of the Lord in my life, and so I'm not going to just be foolish and just think, you know, okay, well, God's going to just, you know, wave, you know, a magic wand and it's going to happen. No, I have to be intentional about the steps that I need to take in order to get there, okay? You can say, oh, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church, you know, on Sunday. Okay, so if you're intentional about going to church on Sunday, then definitely you're going to prepare yourself for that. Right? You're going to make sure you have your clothes that you're going to wear. You're going to make sure that you can get up in time. Make sure that you have things set in place that won't pull you off from getting you there on time. You know, putting gas in your car, you know, making sure you get up an early enough time to get dressed, eat breakfast, do whatever you need to do so that the main goal of you getting to church and being there in a place where you can receive, because you just don't go to church to go to church. You go to church because there's something that you want to place yourself in a position to receive, right, for your life. And so simple as that, you know, we got to be intentional about that. Sometimes intentionality, when you're trying to meet a goal or a deadline or, you know, have a time for something, then sometimes if it's the next day, then you need to go to bed at a decent time, right? You, if you know that, you know, if you don't get a certain amount of sleep and it's going to just spill into, you know, the next day where you'll be tired and sluggish and all that. So if you know that you want to be able to put your 100% into, whether it's a project or, you know, you got a whole lot that you have to do for that day that you have to stay on task, then you're going to set yourself up to succeed for that next day by going to bed early, right? You're going to cut the TV off. You're going to be very intentional about that. And you're going to do what you need to do to be ready so that you can meet that mark, which is what you're focusing on. Okay. Another thing that I think is important is, you know, and this ties into, you know, seeking the Lord for wisdom, but also that discernment ties into it as well, is clarity. Having clarity of mind as well, but clarity in what is it specifically that you're doing, okay? And so when you're dealing with clarity, it suggests that you have a full and complete understanding of what it is you're doing and where you desire to go. When you don't have clarity in mind, then you can't focus. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody may give you instructions real quick and, you know, you didn't hear everything. So it's like, okay, I want to fulfill this. You know, there's a goal that I have to focus in on this, but I can't focus in on it because I didn't hear the full instructions and I need some clarity on exactly what was said or what was given. Sometimes you're given something, it may be even written on paper, but there's still some things that's like, well, I have a question about this because I want to make sure that what's required of me, that I do it, you know, with the intent to succeed. Okay. And so in Ephesians 1:18, it says this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory in the saints. So that plays a big part of that. You understand exactly what you're going after. What's your goal? You know, what's your target? What are you focusing in on? Because whatever you're focusing in on, you want success in it. Now, sadly to say, sometimes we're focusing in on the wrong things and they're not good things. There are things that again, set as a form of distraction from the enemy to keep us off the main thing, right? And so if you're focused in on something, you know, when you focus in on something, the end result is this, you want to succeed in it, right? So we have to be vigilant to make sure that whatever we're focusing in on is God's will, is what God's want. Is what God wants for our life, and that it is something that is productive and pleasing to God. Amen. And I also think about the scripture in Habakkuk 2:2. It talks about writing the vision and making it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. Okay. So making it plain is very key. Okay. Making it plain of what it is that you're actually doing. And sometimes when I set out to, you know, to do something, if it's a major project, it helps to write things down on paper. Well, what does this entail? So I can know, you know, it's also counting the cost, meaning not necessarily counting the cost financially, although sometimes that can be a part of, you know, making it plain to understand, okay, this is the financial cost that I'm going to, or investment that I'm going to need to make in this. But sometimes it's like recognizing what is it that you're going to have to do in order to reach this goal. You know, the word talks about no man, you know, starts out to build a house and first doesn't count the cost. No, meaning, okay, oh, well, I got to get this. I got to get lumber. I got to get nails. I got to get, you know, those who help me because I can't build it by myself. I got to think through that. Oh, how many days is it going to take me to do this, to do that, and all of those things. So that person counts the cost, right? And so when you make something plain, what you're doing is you're laying it all out so you can see this is what I'm working with. This is the time that I'm going to have to put into it. This is the energy, the mental, you know, toughness that I'm going to have to put in it. Into it to, you know, to endure for this thing from start to finish. Okay. And so it's important that you get that understanding by making it plain, and therefore you have that clarity and you can clearly see that's where I'm heading. That's my goal. That's my target. And I'm going to stay focused on that. Okay. And then precision. You know, when you even look in the natural with a bullseye, oftentimes a bullseye has this great big, you know, sometimes, you know, most of the time it's red, you know, big red circle in the middle. And it's pretty big, but it's right in the middle, right? And then it has other circles that outline it, right? And those are in the perimeter, but it's not exactly in that bull's eye that you want to get, right? And so I think precision is a major part of it. You know, when you hit, when you aim to be precise and not just, well, I'm somewhere in the ballpark, in the vicinity, but that's not really complete success. Okay. You were successful. Yeah. You got on the board. Okay. Yeah. But you were on the very edge of the outer layer, the outermost layer of the board, of the target. Okay. And so, when you think about precision, it means or implies to operate with a degree of assurance. Okay. And exactness in the instructions you follow to arrive at your goal. And I immediately think about excellence because that's what excellence is. Excellence is there's a level of assurance in what I'm doing. I'm going to make sure this is the way that it needs to be in order to succeed. And I'm going to be exact, not just somewhere in a ballpark, you know, in the vicinity, not almost there, but no, precision is I'm aiming just like that bow and arrow. And you're looking at that target for that bullseye, that big round circle in the very middle. I'm aiming for that. And that's precision, you know? And so in Hebrews 8 chapter, the 6th verse says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And this particular scripture, I was reminded of it because it made me think about Jesus and all that he had to do to meet the goal, the prize, the mark, the focus of redemption, redeeming our life from destruction, saving us. So there's a lot of things that he had to do. And when you look at the life of Jesus, he did not half step or do anything halfway. He did it with precision, okay? Every step of the way, his enduring suffering, his you know, I remember again in Hebrews where it talks about for the joy that was set before him, he was excited about fulfilling this assignment, even though he endured so much hardship, so much persecution, so many obstacles, so many distractions, but yet and still, he was bent on doing it to the T exactly as he needed to do, which was giving up his life. It wasn't just, you know, like Saul did when he was given a commandment to kill, you know, all these bullocks and all that. And so he saved a few for the side. He's like, these look like good ones. I'm going to save these and then I'm going to kill these. No, he went the total distance and fulfilling the exact assignment that God gave him, that you have to literally lay down your life. You have to give it up and die for all of humanity, all of mankind, so that the redemption plan can be locked in forever. everybody, whether they want to receive it or not. So it was a, it was the most excellent way, because what we started out with, you know, Adam, he fell, he, you know, and a sin came into the world. And so there was all kinds of things that were done as a sacrifice to help us, but it had a lot of failure to it. It had a lot of flaws to it. And so, but when Jesus came, he came in the most excellent way. He did everything that the Father told him to do. He did it precisely. So precision is key in, you know, just being focused and everything. So let me share with you just a few more things that I think is important as it connects to distraction, because that's the biggest thing, you know, when you're trying to focus is distraction. Okay. And we talked about discernment, and discernment helps you to identify those distractions. And sometimes the distractions can be physical distractions. Sometimes they can be spiritual distractions. Sometimes they can be distractions that relate to eternally what's going on in your heart. But no matter what it is, identify it, recognize it, you know. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Okay. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we're in this race. And if we're going to run this race, we can't have all these different things that's hindering us, that's slowing us down, that's getting us off the mark, that's vexing our spirit, all of those things, you know? So sometimes it could be TV, it can be electronics, it can be social media, it can be, you know, it can be a significant other, you know, it can be family members. I talked about laziness in the previous, you know, chapter. It could be a lack of zeal, you know, where you don't have passion, you know, that's a distraction. So, you know, if you're lacking passion, then you need to go to the Father and ask the Father, create in me a desire, a heart for this thing, you know, for what you want me to do. Okay. That's a major distraction when you're giving something to do. And it requires something as great as having passion for what you're doing. Sometimes it's coworkers. Sometimes you need to close the door to your office if you have an office that has a door. Sometimes you may have to give people a heads up. Hey, listen, I'm getting ready to do this. I need about a good hour so I can focus in on this. Okay. So background noises and things like that. You know, if you're trying to focus in on things, you know, sometimes you can be hungry and you're trying to work through some things, and it's like you can't even get yourself straight because you haven't done what you need to do to take care of, you know, eating balanced meal so that you can have the energy to be able to stay focused. How many times have we not eaten, you know, or ate the wrong thing and our, you know, we couldn't even think straight, you know, our system is all messed up, you know, or you felt dizzy or lightheaded because you didn't eat anything or whatever. So it's all of those things can be a distraction. So if you know, okay, this is what I'm set out to do today. Okay, then I need to make sure I pack me a snack. You know, I need to make sure I'm mentally tough to recognize it's going to be a long day, because sometimes you can be distracted by weariness. Okay. Okay. This is going to be all day. Well, if you already had a mental note in your mind, this is because you counted the cost. This is what I need to do. And it's going to require me to be focused in all throughout the day. And sometimes you may need to take a good distraction, which is take a break, step away from studying, step away from, you know, what you're working on, take a 10, 15 minute break, get your mind clear, you know, okay. And then get back into it. Okay. But you have to identify it so that you can know what you need to do. Sometimes as kids, you may need to, you know, give them something to keep them focused on something else so that you won't be distracted. All right. And then, of course, when you figure it out, you need to eliminate it, okay? It doesn't make any sense to recognize, okay, this is a distraction, and you don't do anything about it. So to me, you shouldn't tolerate anything that you have within your power to do something about, right? To me, that's foolishness. And really, you definitely shouldn't complain. You know, if there's something that is distracting you, or, you know, and you've been tolerating it and you can do something about it, that is certainly foolishness, right? So, so do something about it. Remove yourself, you know, plan, you know, around it, you know, come a little later, come a little earlier, get up a little earlier, whatever you need to do, but don't let it be something that the enemy continues to drag you in that distraction by adding additional distractions, which could be murmuring and complaining, okay? Sidebars and, you know, all kinds of things like that. Ephesians 4, the fourth chapter, the 31st verse, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every force of malice. Did you know that bitterness, anger, rage, you know, brawling back and forth, you know, slander, you know, just talking about this and talking about that, or any form of malice is a major distraction from your focus? Because I can tell you all day long that God doesn't want you to focus on bitterness, which that's what you do when you're bitter. He doesn't want you to focus on being angry or mad or whatever. You know, the word even talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, deal with it. Deal with it quickly. Yeah, sure. We're going to have moments where something angers us, where we're mad about something. You just have to gather yourself, you know, and get yourself in order and recognize I can't allow this emotion to pull me off, because it will distract me. It will distract me from having a good time. Y'all, you know, having a good time with family, friends, or at a function or whatever. And something, you know, maybe something, somebody offended you or said something to you and it got you mad. And then now you're not even focusing on having a good time. Okay. So, but the bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, any type of malice in your heart, God does not in any way, shape, or form ever wants us to focus in on that. Okay. So just recognize when you know that these things we try to pop up in your life or prop up in your life, then, you know, you need to do what you need to do to get rid of it. So if you got to go and pray in the spirit, if you got to go and speak, you know, the scripture, the word, the truth over your life, if you got to go and apologize to somebody, if you got to step away, there's been conversations sometimes that I've been in and I'll be like, no, I'm not going to talk about that. I don't think that's a good idea for us to talk about it. Or somebody may be just getting ready to give me a good piece of gossip and I'll tell them, no, I don't want to hear that, you know? And so, you know, that to me is eliminating distractions, because what I'm focused in on living a godly life, living a life that's pleasing to God, producing the fruit of the spirit. And certainly those types of things work against, will sabotage my fruit, will cause my fruit to rot, will cause my fruit to be destroyed. You know, if I allow those things to be a distraction in my life. Okay. And so check it out. What is it that you got to do? Okay. Is it the TV that it just sucks you and pulls you in, and you may start out watching one episode of something. Before you know it, you watch the next show that comes on. Before you know it, you watch the next show, then the next show. And believe me, you, within that, I don't know, 3-hour time span, you could have done something else and working on something that God had given you assignment on or something else more productive. Okay. And so you just got to recognize that, to get rid of the distractions or just avoid them at all. Sometimes it requires changing your atmosphere. You know, as I talked about, you know, sometimes a lovely home, beautiful home, and many places where I can go and meditate. But to me, I change my environment by getting out and walking, because it helps me to be just that much more focused, as well as getting up early. Because if I get up at a certain time, I already know it. Everyone else is going to start getting up around that time. And, you know, I just by hearing them, you know, rummaging around the house is distraction enough, you know. So we got to use wisdom. OK, Jesus, many times he pulled away from the crowd. He pulled away from the disciples apart you know, he went aside and went to pray, you know, pulled himself apart to pray and to have some time and solitude and all of that. Sometimes it was early in the morning, you know, he would do that. Sometimes he would go to the wilderness area, you know, where there was nobody else, you know. Sometimes you need to take some time away and take a short me vacation, you know, so that you can think clear, sabbatical, things like that. Those are things that when you change your environment, it helps you to get refocused, because sometimes you may have to be in an environment where it's distractions, but sometimes you can't do anything about it except for to remove yourself for a period so you can regain your focus and get your mind clear and then get back into that same environment, okay? So just think about those things, right? So where you may need peace or quiet, you know, pull yourself away, you know, and just look to see where are those areas that you can, you know, change your environment in order to do something different and keep those distractions from wearing at you. This is something that I think is important. Have a daily task list, or, you know, don't just get up and just not know what you're supposed to be doing. You know, don't just say, okay, whatever. You know, even in being led by the Spirit of God, He's going to give you a number of different things to do. You know, even if it's just one task or whatever, you know, you can say, well, this is what I need to do, but there's also some other things that you need to do within that day. And oftentimes what I'll do is I'll have a little sticky note. And I know that I have some main things that I have to focus in, but I know that before I get to those things, these are other things that I definitely have to get done today. And I don't want to, you know, let time lapse because it's time sensitive or whatever. So I will list those things so I can keep in mind, this is what I need to do before this day ends. You know, even though in the midst of all of that, I have other things that I'm having to do. So it helps to keep my mind focused. I'll prioritize it. Sometimes, you know, like even coming here to record this podcast, I know I have to be here at a certain time. So I'll write a little list, leave the house at this time, get dressed at this time, be finished, you know, with doing whatever you're doing, whether it's meditating on the message, or it could be other things that I had to do at, you know, wherever I was, be finished with this by this time so that I can lock into what has been given me to do during that period of time. It really helps me. I've been writing, doing lists for years, but sometimes, you know, we can have a list of things to do and it's, and the list is so long, you can't really focus. Okay. So for me, I just do short lists, you know, even though I may have, you know, like in my little phone that has a reminder, I have just categories of lists, but I always have like a short list for that day to say, what's the most important thing that I need to do? And by the way, through your prayer that morning, you know, you should be seeking God and asking God, okay, God, what is the most important thing? Sometimes you already know, but he may call an audible. He may say, okay, that's important, but I want you to do this first, you know. And so by seeking His face, you know, that's what the Word of God in Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? So we want to do what He wants us to do throughout that day. He's blessed us with this day, but give your day back to Him by saying, God, what do you want to do? Lead me, guide me, direct me by your Holy Spirit. So when you get that moment to do a little quick list, you know, you've already had God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit to write down your little list of things that's most important and keep it before you, you know? And so we talked about in the previous chapter about, you know, monitoring your thoughts. But before I move on to that, one of the things that I have to think about is, you know, sometimes we can have a list and it's so much to do. It's busy, busy, busy. And busy is not always productive. Just because you're doing a whole lot of stuff doesn't mean it's productive. You know, sometimes you can do a whole lot of stuff, but you got pulled off. This person got you doing this, you got pulled off doing that because, you know, oh, you saw this needed to be done, but it wasn't really priority for that day, but you're just doing stuff. And so busyness is not necessarily the best thing. Okay. You can be productive and yeah, busy is you got things that you're doing consistently, but don't just think that I got to be busy. No, we need to be productive. That means doing something that will produce results. Don't be just spinning your wheels and doing things and not, you know, accomplishing anything. Okay. You know, the word of God talks about, you know, we don't want to just be as those beating the air. No, you know, when you box and all that, you're going to box because you're going to hit the target. Right. And when you hit the target, you're going to keep hitting that target until it caves in and you win. Right. And so the same thing with anything that God has given us to do, we want to be productive. You want to hit that target. Oh, okay. Bullseye. Right. I hit the mark for that. Now then I can go on to the next level. I hit that, you know. And so but don't just be doing stuff and you're not making any progress within that. OK. And so once again, like I said, you know, I talked about, you know, dealing with our mind, you know, that double mindedness and how important it has to be set on what you have to do. So make sure you go back to that first message dealing with the power of focus. Okay. And then I think it's important for us to keep the vision before us. I earlier talked about Habakkuk chapter 2, where it talks about write the vision and make it plain that he may run who reads it, right? And sometimes that can be a vision that, you know, you may be a leader, you're over other people. I think making that vision, writing it down, making it plain for others so that they can read it and fully understand it and run with it, right? You want that for those who you're leading to be able to run with a vision. You don't want them to be halfway running because they're not sure, you know, and all that. So we talked about the clarity and all of that and making things plain. But I think what's also important is that you keep the vision afresh in your mind. And sometimes that happens through, you know, the list that we may do, that short list or post-it note, or something that will keep the vision before you. If you reread, you know, what you're doing or the scripture that you're focusing on, if you're focusing on, you know, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, then you're going to reaffirm that in you, which is really a part of meditation because, you know, meditation is whatever you're thinking about over and over and over again. So it doesn't make sense to have a goal or set for a focus of something and then you forget about it. You know, how are you going to even make steps towards it if you forget or if you lose the potency of the effect that it has in fueling your passion and your drive to get it done. Okay. And so those are things that help you to keep it before you. So reaffirm your focus in yourself daily. This is what I'm doing. I'm eating healthy today. You know, and a lot of ways that we can reaffirm ourselves is listening to messages that speak to your goals, your vision, connecting to, you know, your pastor through receiving mentorship and all those types of things. These are things that will fuel your goals and your focus so that, you know, it will keep you on that that vein of going after those goals. Okay. So I think that's important. And then lastly, I want you to really gather, you know, yourself and recognize that maybe you've been off focus, you know, because sometimes the enemy can duke us again, because literally what he does is he puts distractions in our lives. We get distracted and then he beats us over the head because we got distracted. Well, who put it there? He did, right? So we have to recognize that a continuation of that distraction that he puts in our lives is to accuse us. You know, the word of God talks about Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so he will do everything that he can to make you feel bad, inadequate, unaccomplished, that you can't do anything, that you're too far from the goal and you might as well just give in and just let it go, you know, just whatever. And I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar, that you can really get yourself refocused, okay, and get back on that, you know, that track of being focused in on your goal. You know, it doesn't matter how long it's been. If you know in your heart that God says that I still want you to do this, you know, no matter how big it may be or how small it may be, you know, it doesn't matter. And so you may trip up, you may be distracted, you may have lost a whole day because I don't know, you know, maybe it was just emergencies that came up, because sometimes those things like emergencies can happen where you just have to make those adjustments. And I just believe when those types of distractions happen, that God can work all things out together for the good. That to me, that is, those are perfect ingredients, you know, because God knows when things are going to happen. And so just recognize that. And know this, that when the enemy brings a distraction in our lives, he cannot make those distractions govern our lives. He has to get permission, you know? And sure, you know, when a distraction happens, he doesn't come to you and say, look, I won't do this in your life. Will you let me do it? He did it with Job when he went to God, okay? But, you know, he doesn't have the power to do that anymore, you know, because God has given us all authority and all power, right? So he's not going to come to us and say, you know, I'm going to put this in your life. Is that okay? No, he's just going to try to do it. And he's hoping that you're not discerning. He's hoping to catch you off guard where you don't recognize what's happening. He's hoping to get you hook, line, and sinker, and for you to fall for these distractions, whether knowingly or unknowingly. You know, because sometimes distractions would come and you'll talk yourself out of certain things. Sometimes distractions come and you can't do anything about it. Sometimes they're there and you're thinking that you can't, but you can. You know, you're thinking, okay, you know, you don't have the power, but you do, because you don't recognize the power that you have over the enemy, okay? But nonetheless, no matter what happens, whether even if it's an emergency type of distraction, you know, you still have the power to say, God, I believe that this emergency situation you can use to work it all out together for the good. Because sometimes it can be distractions, but as God works it out together for the good, it turns out to be a divine delay. God does those awesome things like that, you know? And so just regather yourself, regroup yourself, take these spiritual truths that I have shared with you and apply them to your lives. And like I said, if you're not focused, get refocused, okay? What is it that God has told you to do, and be set on doing what he's told you to do, by recognizing these spiritual truths and allowing them to help you get the cutting edge over the enemy when he tries to come your way. I believe, like never before, you'll have that focus. Hallelujah. And that focus will get you to that goal. And you can say, bullseye, I hit the target, I hit the mark. And guess what? That glorifies God. And ultimately, in our lives and all of our lives, we want to glorify God. Okay? So stay focused. Amen. As you apply these keys to being focused. God bless you.
This has been another episode of Changing Lives. Be sure to subscribe to stay updated on new episodes. Also, find us on the web at MountGileadFGIM.org and follow us on Instagram at MountGileadFGIM.